Shavuos, Perek Dalet, Mishneh Gimel, 4:3. So, to be liable to bring the Shavuos Eidos Korban, really three separate steps have to happen. Step number one is that prior to going to Beis Din, the plaintiff has to ask his would-be witnesses to testify on his behalf, and then that's stage one, has to happen before the court case. Step two is they have to swear they have no testimony, that they can't testify, they don't know the facts that are relevant. And then three, they have to deny having the testimony in court. Now, the last two steps really, in theory, could be lumped together, but let's just tease them apart. There's the swearing prior to the going into the Beis Din, and there's the giving testimony in the court that one has no testimony to give. So, based on that, the Mishnah teases things out. It says, Shavuos HaEidos Ketzad. How does it work out that a person is liable to bring this korban for Shavuos HaEidos? First, step one, Amar L'Shnayim, the plaintiff says to his two witnesses, Ba'u V'Hiduni, come and testify on my behalf. If their response is either A, Shvua Shein Anu Yodim L'Cha Eidos, that they swear they don't have testimony to deliver, or B, O Sha'amrulo, they don't say they swear. They simply say, Ein anu yodim lecha edus. We don't have any relevant testimony. We can't testify on your behalf. We don't know. We don't remember. We don't have what to say. And then, in the second possibility, instead of them saying they swear, he says to them, Mashbia ani aleichem. He says, like, I put you under oath. What we'd probably translate, not literally, as swear to me. Va'amru amen. And then the witnesses respond back, amen. So they agreeing to that their statement is like a solemn statement of like a shvua, an oath that they don't have testimony to give. That's step two now. Either A or B, they said it themselves, or he made them say it, and they said amen. So those are hare elu chayavin. In both of those scenarios, if they then go to Beis Din according to the chachamim, remember we had this machlokas back in the first mission of the perek. But then if they go to Beis Din according to the chachamim and they say we have nothing to say, so now they are chayavin. They're liable for Shavuos HaEidos. According to Reb Meir back in the first Mishnah, you wouldn't even need to go to the Beis Din, since it's Pi Atzman, they themselves are saying that they're swearing they don't have testimony outside of the court, and saying amen is like swearing, then, according to Reb Meir at least, even not going to the Beis Din would also already at that point. But for our purposes here, think of that third step happening as well. In the Beis Din, they testify, they have nothing to testify about. Okay, now the Mishnah develops this further. If prior to going to the Beis Din, and I'll call it stage one, the plaintiff says to his would-be witnesses, Hishbia alehen chamisha pa'amim chutz le-Beis Din, he puts them under oath five separate times, meaning either he says to them, swear to me you don't have testimony, and they say amen, and that happens five times, or for the matter, if they say five times, we swear we don't have information to deliver, and then, uvo le-Beis Din, then they show up in the Beis Din, and when asked, in the Beis Din, vahodu, they sing like canaries. The fact that they swore yesterday they didn't know anything doesn't matter. Today they told the facts that they had to say. So then even though they swore falsely yesterday, paturim, they'll be exempt from the liability of Shavuos HaEidos because they didn't meet the third criteria of denying in court. They didn't have a kafir in court. What they did do, however, of course, is swear falsely yesterday, and that's a shvuas bitui. And if a shvuas bitui, so if they did it in an accident, that would be also, you know, whatever the consequences are, shvuas bitui. And if it was, you know, bishogig, then that would also be, they'd be liable for all of Yor. But if they did bemezid, there's you know, malchus only with, if they had warning, etc. Okay. Now, what if kafru, if instead of admitting, they deny it, meaning step one, the plaintiff outside of court says the witnesses testify on my behalf. Step two, five times they say, we swear we have nothing to say. And then step three, in the Beis Din, they also say we have nothing to say. But they were lying. So now, between them and Hashem, of course, because no one knows they're lying but them, but if they now want to right their wrong, what's their obligation? Chayavin al kol achas va'achas. Since they swore five times falsely, and then did the third step of kfir of repudiating it in Beis Din, they'll be liable for all five of their willful, mazed, shvuos edus, dishonest oaths regarding having testimony. And therefore, they have to bring five separate olav yards. Now, that's true. However, In the last case of this Mishnah here, not a new case, but the final case of the Mishnah, we are going to talk about a different kind of case where they swear five times not prior to going to Beis Din, but they swear five times in the Beis Din. Now, to understand this next part of the Mishnah, you have to understand that there's a rule, a general rule that applies to all testimony in the Beis Din. The rule says that kivan, or kevan, shehigid, shuv, enu chozer umagid, once a person has testified, he is no longer authorized, able, believed to deliver contradictory testimony in the Beis Din. Once he has testified about something, he can't say that the thing that he said is in fact untrue. So that's kevan shehegid, from the time that he has testified, or said what he had to say, shuv, after that, eino chozer umagid, he can't say something else which contradicts what he said before. That being the case, so speaking outside first, if a person swears he has no testimony, okay, we accept, we believe it. The court says he has no testimony, we accept that. So now, when he swears the second time, that's not really consequential, because even if he would say, oh, you know, I made a mistake, and I remember, I actually do remember what happened, and he tries to testify about those facts, since he previously testified he didn't remember, so then he can't go back. So his testimony will not be believed the second time. It's just not acceptable in court, okay? As a footnote, sidebar, he could change what he said toch kedei dibor, within the amount of time it takes, say, Shlomo Lech Rebbe, you know, 2 seconds or whatever. But if he more than 2 seconds pass and then he tries to say something different, the court won't accept it. So what that means is really, after he gives his testimony that he has no testimony to give, he has no possibility of testifying further. So he is, after the first time he swore he didn't know anything, he is kind of in the same bucket as we had in the first mission of the Perek, you know, the woman and the pasul and the karov, since a person who is a relative can't testify, they can't be liable to Shavuos Eidos. And since a person who's not testified that he hasn't got a testimony to give can't testify, because the rule is, so now he can't testify now, so therefore he's no longer considered an aid. So therefore, after the first time, he can't be on the hook for a second or a third Shavuos Eidos, because he's off the hook, he's not eligible to be an aid after the first time he swore. So therefore, we're going to contrast now in this last case of the Mishnah, the difference between if he swore five times prior to going to the Beis Din, he didn't know, then in one time in the Beis Din he does a kfira, he sticks to his guns, he doesn't know, so that will make, if he's lying, all five of his shvuas before they came to Beis Din, shvuas edus. But if in the Beis Din he takes his first shvua, his second shvua after that will not be consequential, and therefore will not be accepted, and therefore he'll be on the hook just for one olav yored. That's what the Mishnah says outside. Inside it reads, Hishbi alehen chamisha pamim bifnei Beis Din v'kfara. V'kafra. Excuse me. V'kafru. They swore, he the plaintiff adjured them five times under oath in the Beis Din, and they swore those five times, and they insist they had nothing to give in terms of testimony. Enan chayavin ela achas. The two witnesses, will not be liable to anything more than the first time that they lied on oath, meaning just one olav yored zeth, but they have to bring. Amar Rabbi Shimon, matam. Rabbi Shimon says, what's the reason why the first time they're liable, the second time is not? Hol ve'enem yuchom lachazor v'lahodos. Because once they have testified, they have nothing to testify about. They can't give additional testimony saying, oh, now we do have something to say, we remember. And since they, like I explained before, since they can't say something else new, they're not valid as witnesses, and therefore they're not eligible anymore to be liable to an olav yored, and therefore it's just the first time that they're violating the Shavuos Eidos and no further times after that.